Thank you, Michael.
I just need to finish my lawsuit. I caught cold. My wife is ill. I'm taking care of her. I'm her caregiver. Caught cold, and she's doing a lot better, by the way, until this morning. But anyway, she's doing better. Hopefully get a shot in her spine this week. So I got this cold, and I don't want Pam to get the cold. So 3 o'clock in the morning, she wakes me up. She says, I'm in a lot of pain. This happens every night. And what can I take? So I look at my log. I keep a log of what I'm giving her. Okay, I can give you this. So I have to wash my hands and go sing ABC, as the doctors do. That's what they tell you to do. I don't know if you do that. You get the viruses off your hands, so wash them off. By the way, I want you to know, those that I shook your hand, I washed before the service. So be at peace. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. Be praying for the youth. And they're coming back tomorrow. And I'm excited to that they're there and getting what they can from God. So we're doing a little thing on Beatitudes series here. And we come to, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And of course, that triggers a lot of things in me, especially this thing of righteousness. What it is to be righteous. Many years ago, I don't think they do it anymore, but some would do something or say something, oh, righteous man. Yes, some of you remember that, huh? Yeah. And so, in Christianity, there's this thing that God wants us to be righteous. And so, those of you who've been around a while and you know the Word of God, there's a righteousness that's through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And the washing and cleansing, and when God looks at us, He sees Jesus Christ in white as snow. And so, we understand that. We understand that we're perfect in Him, not in our acts of righteousness, because there's none righteous, no, not one. But then you read things, there's a righteousness that we are to do, that we are to live. And here's where comes the problem with us. And I'm talking about the Christian church. Not any of you, because you got it down. You know exactly what it's all about. But in the Christian church, there's this dilemma. Okay, I need to live this way. And if you see someone's not living that way, you need to live this way. This is what the Bible says. And then you're frustrated because they tell you to, go take a hike or something. And so a lot of tension in the church and people frustrated with each other. Some people get all puffed up in pride because they're disciplined and they're living a certain way. And they think everyone else should live like them. And why aren't they disciplined like I am? And so there's tension in the church because of this thing of righteousness. Now, we all want to be righteous. And I think we all understand that there's something that when Jesus Christ saves us, that we begin to do something in righteousness. But what is that? And what does that include? And how does it fit in? I had a Jew not too long ago tell me, a Christian Jew, And he said to me, he said, you need to be, and he named some things in the Old Testament that we as a church, we don't do. And he's waxing eloquent. I'm listening to him. I'm being a nice guy and listening to him on how we should be and what we should do as Christians. When he's done, he says, what do you think? And I said, well, Paul said, I'm dead to the law, so I don't need to do those things. Now, I just do it because I was irritated with him. That's what I said to him. I'm dead to the law. And he goes, now, he'd been talking nonstop, and he didn't know what to say to that. You're dead to the law. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. What does that mean? How does that fit in? Look at what Jesus says. I have in your notes there in Matthew 5:17-20. I just quickly want to go over it. because it creates some havoc inside of us. What does this mean? Do not think that I have abolished the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not one dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of these, least of these commandments, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, least it's the kingdom of heaven. Did you catch that? Least or great? But listen to what he says. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, so I need to have a greater righteousness. I need to do more. I need to live a certain way. I need to have a righteousness that is greater. Now, years ago when I read that, I thought, oh, well, he's got to be talking about the blood of Jesus Christ and I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. But as I study this, I realize, no, he's not talking about that. He's truly talking about living a certain way that is way better than the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, what did they do? They lived the law. They lived the Ten Commandments. And if they messed up, they would give a sacrifice. And once a year, there was a special sacrifice that covered all the sins. But they lived those things. There were some who felt that they were perfect. Remember the rich man that came to Jesus? He says, I've kept the law, and he names a bunch of them. And he says, oh, well, good. Now what you need to do, Jesus said, hey, go and sell all that you have. And give to the poor. And then you'll be born again. You say. And the guy went away depressed. I mean, has Jesus told you that yet? Has he said, do you go sell everything? No, obviously he hasn't. How many drove here? Mm-hmm. I did too. And so there's this stuff, these issues. What is going on? What is... You have the righteous of the scribes and Pharisees, and by the way, once a week they would fast, they would pray. They would at certain times every day they would pray. They were dedicated to that. So what is he talking about? Unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, I think that Jesus gives us what that means. In the Sermon on the Mount, especially the Beatitudes. I think that there is something there that is taking place. And we just need to grab hold of it and realize, oh yeah. And as I talk about some of these things, you're gonna say, that definitely is happening in me. Yeah, that is taking place. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, you enter into a different realm. By the way, in the very last beatitude, he said, bless them when men persecute you and that kind of stuff. And it ends with, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And it's kind of like the sandwich. The first one starts with the kingdom of heaven, the last one starts with the kingdom of heaven. So he's talking about the very rule of God. He's talking about living in the kingdom of heaven right now, something that is taking place within you that is beyond you and beyond your ability. Because you can, to a certain degree, live the law. To a certain degree. You'll never be satisfied in living the law because you'll never truly fulfill it. It's interesting. Last week, as I talked about being angry, there were several people who said to me, man, I was whipped. In fact, the worship team was texting while I was preaching. And I'm on that link. And they're texting. So after service, go, no, I didn't do that. But it's an interesting thing. Man, I feel so convicted over this. Man, I feel bad. I don't measure up. I'm not obtaining this in my life. I'm a sinner. And that's exactly where we want to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We realize that we're totally bankrupt without God, that we don't measure up, that we can't in ourselves perform or get anything done that would please God or satisfy Him in the flesh, that we cannot do it. So what are we to do in the flesh? And by the flesh, I mean our physical person living for God. Well, it begins with this, blessed are the poor in spirit. I need God. And the result of that, mourn. And then he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. And I said, giving up, yielding your rights to God, 1 week. Another week, he said, power under control, and it is focusing on God, that you focused on yourself, I'm a sinner, but now you're focused on God, and you want to please God, you want to serve Him, and that's meekness. And now let me add a third kind of definition. I said, yielding your rights, strength under control, a desire to be criticized by God. A desire to hear what God has to say. Something within me that is not offended by the Bible. Something in me now that receives, oh, this is God. This is God. And I don't like it because I'm not living, but this is something that is happening. Now, those three things, and I put in the notes, they're percolating in you. You know what I mean by that? There's just kind of stirring in you. That humility. God, I know I'm a sinner. God, I need you. God, forgive my sins. I mean, it keeps percolating. And it doesn't stop percolating. It keeps on, because you'll never arrive. You'll never arrive. And this thing percolating, and you listen to a sermon, you go, oh, God. But it doesn't devastate you. It hurts a little, but in a good way. You know, it kind of feels good. Oh, yeah, that's me. God, forgive me. And it's a totally different kind of thing that if you're just living the law and then someone comes along and tells you, hey, you shouldn't watch that on TV. That's ungodly. That's not righteous. And you know what you do? You leave me alone. You say that inside. You go, oh, I'll pray about it. But it's not that kind of thing. The righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees was all on the outside. It was always doing the outward things. Now, Jesus gives some outward things that we're to do. Last week I talked about, don't even become angry with your brother. We're like, well, how can that be? And I said, there are times that you should be angry and sin not. And we dealt with a little about that. And if you want to hear that, I'm not going to preach it. You get on our website and you can listen to that. So what is this stuff? It is painful, yet it feels good. You know what I mean by that? It's because this stuff is percolating in me. I'm poor in spirit now. And that is becoming stronger and richer. And I'm seeking His face. And when I see things, it's like, oh, God. And God, give me more of You, more of Your Word, more of a cleansing. God, wash me. It's like David said, wash me with hyssop. I mean, really do a scrubbing, God. It just feels kind of good. I'll never forget years ago. I was right in that corner right there. You've heard me tell this story. Alone with God, we've been fasting. And I went, and probably, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, I just cried and cried like a big snot was coming down. It was, and you know what it was? I was reading James. And God was just convicting me. But it was so glorious. I was bawling, snot. I didn't have a cold or anything, just stuff blowing out of me. I was blowing my nose and I had, you know, it was sickening. Anyway, but what was all that? It was the sorrow and yet the feel good. It was the poor in spirit and yet the meekness that was percolating in me. And it was giving me a hunger. A hunger. Oh, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after this righteousness. You see, what has happened to us before Jesus Christ and to the world and happened to the Jews? There in Jeremiah, look at that scripture, Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. Or, we've all committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. What is living water? That's what satisfies. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water. Now, what's this talking about is they're trying to satisfy themselves with something besides me. Because we all have hungers. We all yearn for things. Going to have a marriage today, I guess later on today, right here. And there's yearnings going on. Don't need to mention what they are exactly, but I think you all understand. There's yearnings going on. We all have yearnings. We all have desires. And he said, my people have forsaken me and they've sought other things besides me. Their hunger and their thirst was not after righteousness. Their hunger and thirst was after self-fulfillment. They're desiring to fulfill themselves and to find something in themselves. But it's a broken cistern. There's holes in it. And they keep trying. Remember the story? Remember the story about Jesus? John 4, 5, or 6. Jesus at the well, a woman at the well. And he says, hey, give me a drink. And she says, why would you be asking me, a Samaritan woman, to give you something to drink? I mean, you being a Jew, you shouldn't, you don't like us. He said, if you knew who you're talking to, I have water that you'll never thirst again. Oh, what is this water? She said. I have water that will satisfy. I have this in that I want to give and have people drink that will satisfy. You'll never thirst again. What is this thing? This hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have this percolating, this desire for God, this humility that breaks you. I can do nothing outside of Him. This within you, you know you have gifts because He's given you gifts. He's given you abilities. And now you want to use those things for God. That's power and control, strength under control. You want to use those things for God. But now this hunger begins to grow in you. Jesus said you'll never thirst again. And it says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And I just love that. But how is that applied to us? Because how many here still hunger and thirst? Can I see your hand? Am I the only one? Yeah, still hunger. Well, how come you haven't been filled? What's wrong with you? You see, you read this stuff and you start, let me tell you, you ask questions and you're going to have a whole bunch of them. If you really think about this stuff, it says, wait, am I going to be filled? I'm not filled, but I'm not satisfied. You know, how can it be? I just love this stuff. Can I tell you what I think that's talking about? Be filled? Of course, you want to hear that, don't you? Now listen, I have a cold. Don't make me mad. Yeah. The hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. What I'm going to tell you, you've experienced many times in your life. You have this percolating in you. That stuff, you know. The poor in spirit. The brokenness. The wanting to please God and to hear what God has to say. Wanting to do for Him. And it creates in you a hunger for righteousness. The pastor preaches about not even becoming angry with your brother and the pain. And you're broken again. Say, God, help me. help me so I don't feel this way, so I don't have this frustration with someone that doesn't line up how I think or someone doesn't feel. And I talk about it, I'm not going to do that again, what that means and what that's all about. But help me, God, so I can have this. I want to live it. There was a young man who he started pastoring as 23 years senior pastor. He was a youth pastor, and he started pastoring. And some of his good friends of the church, they said, "You're quite a prudish preacher," and I kind of liked that when they told me that. So you knew who I'm talking about. So this young man, he liked that. I'm prudish. I like that term. Because I'm living it, I'm preaching it, I'm laying down the law. But people weren't living it like I was living it. Or like I thought I was living it. And they weren't lining up like I thought they would line up. Just like today. And I was frustrated. I was irritated. Sometimes if I got enough frustration, I'd go to that person and say, "Hey, you need to straighten your life up. You're just causing all kinds of issues and problems." And I just would, and it would be right on. It'd be right. It would be right. Just like Paul was right when he was preaching, but then he had to run from him. And God says, "Get out of town. You know, just get out of town. You're not doing any good." And then they had peace. And said, well, that was me. I had the right word. I had the right thing. And I was frustrated, so I was really after him. Going after him. Even individually. Angry. Don't be angry with your brother. And then something happened a few years back. After all these years of being right, there was something happened inside of me. I didn't have that anger toward them. I had compassion and mercy. There was something that happened inside of me that changed me. My hunger and thirst after righteousness and God became satisfied or fulfilled in me. And as time goes in your life, you're going to find those things happen, and you have in some instances in your life. Hey, did you notice? Did you notice right after, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness? Did you notice what he says? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, or those who have the right motives, the pure in heart. You'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers. The first four attitudes has to do with something that God is percolating in you. And even the desire for Him, the desire for righteousness. The next three, or I might even say four, the fourth one is, the next four, after the first four verses, the next one has to do with something that is happening inside of you. And this is the righteousness that is greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. This is a righteousness that goes way beyond what the scribes and Pharisees had ever felt or existed in their lives. Because everything was a law. Everything was right and wrong. Just like in a lot of churches, everything is right and wrong. And if you do right, good. If you don't do right, then the elders will be talking to you. Or that sister will be talking to you. Because we got to get people right. And as a result, it was done in a wrong way because there was frustration and anger, a wrong spirit, instead of coming from a place of mercy. Some Christians, and why they're frustrated, is because they wish they could do those things too. I want you to think about it. want you to think about this. It's not right that they get it. You know, you don't say that. It's not right that they get to do it and I don't. Hey, let me ask you something. Why are you so messed up inside, Christian, when you see people who call themselves Christians live together and you know they're doing stuff that the Bible says you shouldn't do? Why are you so messed up and angry at them? You see, I like to get to the nitty-gritty stuff. Come on. Yeah, this is where we live. What is the thing percolating in you? You know, is it the flesh? Is it because, hey, I have some longings. I wish I could do that too. You'd never admit it. But I wonder. Now see, that'll help some of you not gossip. Thank you, Carrie. She gets my jokes. Why will that help some of you not gossip? Because when you tell me and you're irritated at him, I'm going to think to myself, it's because you want to do it. So that's going to help some of you. I'm here to help. If this is not coming across well, you'd blame it on the medication, okay? Because when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we begin to become satisfied in things that in our own life that we begin to live. But it happens in a way inside of us, not on the outside. You begin to then look at other people in a different way. Because inside of you, you know what those sins did to you because you see them in you. Even not the things maybe that you did on the outside, because Jesus said, He that lusts in his heart after a woman. You know, and if you're lusting in your heart, then you're bothered that people really get to do it. I know that sounds weird. But I think we need to go back to blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm broken, God. I've got a lot of things that's messing me up inside. A lot of things that have done wrong in my life. Let me read scripture to you. And it's at the end there. It's James 1, 19, 21. You're going to notice righteousness and you're going to notice meekness. Now listen to this. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We talked about that last week, and we hit on that every once in a while, that we need to remind ourselves. Quit talking. Stop talking. Slow to speak. Stop it. Stop it. The mouth is just running off, and the brain's trying to catch up. Just stop it. Slow down. Listen to people for a change. Don't interrupt them because you have something that's better for them than what they're saying. And you can right the wrong. Stop it. Shush. Discipline yourself. Stop talking. Am I overboard? That's because of the medication. Come on. Is it working? Thank you. So, quick to hear. Slow to speak, slow to anger. For anger does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Anger does not produce the righteousness of God. You see, we think that it does from time to time. Parents, when you get mad, your kids finally mind you. They finally do what you tell them to do, and you're yelling and screaming. And you think that your anger produces something of righteousness. Let me tell you, that anger will fail. That anger will fail because all you're doing is producing rebellion in them. I'm just telling you, you're hurting their spirit, and it's producing something that will, you'll lose out in the end. You might win the battle. You're making them do what you want them to do because you're yelling and screaming and carrying on. But you're going to lose the war. Because anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It doesn't satisfy it. Okay, let's read on. Therefore, since this is true, we're talking about the righteousness of God. Don't become angry. Therefore, put aside, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness. Now listen, it sounds like he's talking to the world because of the terms that he's using. Wicked. That's a very strong term. Wickedness. Sounds like he's talking to the world. No, he's talking to Christians. That's who he's talking here. He's talking to Christians. And we need to go back to square ones a lot of time that we just have wickedness in our heart. That we're jealous. We're rebellious. We don't care. We are selfish. There's just wickedness taking place. Is meekness kicking in now? You say, oh yeah, Lord, let me receive from you. Listen to this. He's talking to Christians. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Now, meekness, remember, you're not going to be offended by it. That's what meekness does. It receives what God is saying. We don't reject it. We might not like it sometimes, but we know it's right and we have to try to figure it out. Okay, how is this going to work? And sometimes we misunderstand the Word of God and we need to study and meditate and find out, okay, just what is He saying in context and in context of the Bible? So it's not just all an easy thing, but I think basically we hear preaching, we read the Word of God, and we have this meekness that we want to hear more. We want it to cleanse us. We want it to wash us. Now listen to what it says, which is able to save your souls. Now that's not what you think it means. We're not talking about salvation. Save your souls. You're dead without Christ. Your spirit is dead. You have something and longing. When you come to know Jesus Christ, the spirit's connected with your spirit and you come alive in Him. But there's a soul part of you. That's your personality. That's your will and your emotions. And the ability to make decisions, that's still messed up. And it needs to be washed by the Word of God. It needs to be cleansed. That's where we come to church. I mean, you get saved, you're not perfect. And you've been saved a long time, many, many years, and you're still not perfect. But there's something that is taking place. You got that stuff percolating in you. And you want to know more. And you want to know Him better. And you want to learn of Him. And you want to walk with Him. And what it does, the Word of God, is you're meek and you begin to receive the Word of God. It begins to cleanse you. Now listen to me. The reason why you don't like someone, it's not because of what the other person does. Because other people like them. I want this to sink in. The reason why you don't like someone is not because of the other person, because other people like them. There's something in you that needs to be cleansed and washed. We're going to talk more about this when we look at Blessed are the pure in heart. Because Peter's very, very straightforward about the purity in relationship and what that means. Let me say it again. When you don't like someone, it's not because of them. It's because of your soul. It's because of your personality. It's because you have quirks and things in you. You know, we sang that song. How do the words go? You're satisfied with me, or one song we sing, you like me, you know, and that song is for everyone here. But there is someone here that you don't like, probably. Not for me, I say sincerely. They're not here this morning, and what I don't like. that one that you don't like. Hey, how about that mother-in-law? Well, no, don't go there. How about that cousin that's on your wife's side that comes and he just drives you nuts? Why does he drive you nuts? Those other people that like him. There's a lot of people that don't, but there's some. His mother likes him, I think. It's because there's something inside of you that's off, that's messed up. And as time goes, the Word of God will wash and cleanse you. It'll make you whole. And a light will come on in things in your life, and forgiveness will come, and blessed are the merciful will come in your life. I tell you what, this life in God is real. And it's not a matter of the do's and don'ts. It's a matter of something that's percolating inside of you, that you easily can face your own sins. You can easily recognize your pride. You begin to easily see your selfishness. Now, if you don't see that selfishness in you, come and talk to me. I'll tell you what to do. That was a joke. Listen to Paul, Philippians 3:7. I just loved it. But whatever gain I had, count loss for the sake of Christ. Okay, for the sake of Christ. Notice, everything's for God, for Jesus, for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. There's nothing like it. There's nothing that is greater. Now, he didn't get that right off. I mean, he was sold out and to preach Jesus, but he had to learn some things that we talked about last week, and that stuff that was percolating in him, and in fact, remember the conversation? Some of you didn't get it. He had a conversation with God. God had him in a trance, and God began to speak to him, and he begins to argue with God. Like, hey, you don't understand, God. I have all this knowledge about the Jews, and I can really help them. And so God just says, hey, get out of town. Depart. He leaves, and the church flourishes. You see, he was right in the wrong place. He was right in everything that he said, but he was wrong. And I said last week, you can do more damage in being right but having the wrong spirit. You'll do more damage than that sinner that doesn't know Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you. And you got to get that. So, Paul, though, learned something. Now it's the end of his life. He says, man, I count everything loss to know Christ. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. He suffered the loss of all things, but no big deal. That's just junk. That's just, you know, that word that I used to say, you know, crap, that word. Loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found with him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through the faith in Christ. A righteousness from God that depends on faith. That's the percolating stuff. That's what God's doing in you. You are his workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's that percolating, that stuff. His righteousness percolating in you. And then he says these famous words at the end of his life, that I may know him. Power is resurrection. And I may know him. He knew Christ. But he knew that he had a long ways to go. And he wasn't perfect. There was that stuff inside of him. Do you have that in your soul this morning? Do you have that percolating? If you don't, I want to pray for you. And you know, we could have an altar call, but I want to pray for you, right? right where you are. If you don't have that where you want to please God, you want to serve God, you want to live for God, if that's not something inside of you, then you need God. You need Jesus Christ in your life because there is a life after this, eternity, with God or without God. With God's bliss in heaven, without God is hell. Consider where you are. Father, I pray for maybe one or two or a few that they really don't have that inside of them. They don't know what I'm talking about, this percolating of God inside of them. Lord, save them. Bring them to that place that they'll yearn for you. Give them a desire for you, a desire to know you, a desire to seek you. God, you do a work in their life. In Jesus' name. Let me ask, Christian. I know I say a lot of things that offend people because I preach the Bible. And I know sometimes it hits, like last week, you know, about anger. But how does it affect you? How does that, you know, some of you here in this church, you're prejudiced. And you don't think you are. You need to face your prejudice. Things that you say. Let me just throw this out at you. And when I go home, I'm going to beat myself over the head for saying this. But let me throw this out at you. If you say, well, they just need to build that wall. Trump, build the wall. Oh, really? What is percolating inside of you? Why do you say that? Is there something inside of you that is different? Now, I'm not saying don't build a wall. Listen, America, do whatever. I've got Christ. I've got Christ. And we need to be in unity of that, that Jesus Christ is our center. He's our everything. You may lose some equal rights or some Bill of Rights. It doesn't matter. If you have Christ, we need Jesus above all else. And if you're struggling with some type of racism, and most of us are to some degree, I'm just telling you, you need to evaluate. You need to repent. One of the worst sins, you read the Word of God, And God's hand comes down upon those who divide. The rebellious ones who divide. In fact, there's only one thing. Don't go there. Maybe next week. I'll be here another half hour talking about that. Christian, do you have percolating one to please Him? One to love everyone, accept everyone, care for everyone. Years ago, I drive down Portland Road, and it's probably been 20 years ago, and there were a lot of prostitutes. And I used to be so irritated. And then my daughter, maybe this has been 25, 30 years ago, my daughter in Hawaii began a ministry with prostitutes, going and praying for them, literally talking to them and taking their hand and praying for them. And I had to question my attitude. I had to question the desire for righteousness. Is it Christ? Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those that have the right motive. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those are the three things on the heel of this righteousness that He throws at us. And so the rest of your life, zero in on those three things. That'll probably be enough to satisfy you the rest of your life. Oh, wait, how about the other thing? Oh, okay. Okay, those three things will fit into everything. That has to do with relationship with people. Mercy. Your right motive toward people. Peacemaker. Let's stand. So we won't do our normal thing. I don't become religious. We're so religious. Lord, today is as we go our way. Lord, may some of the words just really go into our gut and our heart. And may your Spirit cause that percolation to take place. That where there was something of just water, you mix something of your glory, and out came something glorious, honoring you in our life. Now speak to us. May we yearn to know you like we've never known you. Lord, your blessing, in Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.